Welcome everyone to the Prepared Mindset Podcast. Welcome back if you're a returning listener, and welcome in. If this is your first time checking us out, welcome you guys. It should be a really cool discussion, at least for me, as this is my, it's almost gotten to the point of being like an annual debrief episode. This past weekend, I was able to take the Orion Training Group two-day CQB Fundamentals course. So I'm going to get into kind of everything that I took away from the class, share some, maybe a couple stories or something like that. A lot of the lessons, the insights and things, are around why we keep, trying to get them back up here into Michigan, why we value the training and stuff. And it's funny because a lot of you guys will see the title and see CQB. And I know some people will jump in and go, civilians don't need CQB. You guys are playing, you're LARPing, you're playing dress up, or I mean, I don't know, there's, tons of validations people put behind their feelings, however false they may be. And it's fun. Oh, you only need two-man CQB, or you should, the only CQB a civilian should learn is solo CQB. Which is funny because, like, I think traditionally speaking in this, community, or actually in this ecosystem, because we don't act like a fucking community, when people tell us we don't need something, i.e. you don't need a fully automatic weapon, i.e. you don't need access to explosive breaching, you don't need, you know, XYZ caliber to be capable of defending yourself, you don't need more than 20 rounds, you don't need more than 10 rounds, you don't need a semi-automatic, you don't need more than a shotgun, right? The list goes on of, like, the things that we're told that we don't need, it doesn't make sense for us to have them, right? And we go, F you, these are our rights. Yes, we do. And like 110% behind that. But ironically, when we get into discussions around close quarters movement and clearance of structures, CQB, CQC, whatever nomenclature fits how you see this skill set, people get really butthurt about it, And it's ironically some people that, a lot of the time, they don't believe in training civilians at all in some instances. And they think that, you know, the civilian populace, if they haven't served in the military or spent time in law enforcement, or even if you have spent time in law enforcement, you're not worthy, I guess, of learning this. I find it to be a pretty weird part of our ecosystem, because it's just a skill set. You know, I could sit here and probably make a stronger argument for why most of us don't need mechanical breaching or explosive breaching skills, but I won't, because I think, hey, if you want to spend the money and the time, you want to go down to Alliance PD down in Ohio and you want to learn from those guys on how to do all that stuff, you want to learn mechanical breaching and run saws and torches and pry bars and Halligan, like all the stuff that comes with it, you can find a place that'll teach you explosive breaching. I don't know if that exists for civilians or not. I mean, go for it. You probably won't be able to do it practically, because you more than likely don't have access to the materials, right, to make that a effective thing. But like, hey, if you want to learn the skills to it, who am I to stop you? You know, I think that that's that learning is something that we should not be closed off with, especially when the tools by which we carry out those skills are already under such heavy scrutiny and heavy attack. But I'll talk about that a lot more, I'm sure, as we get further into this discussion. the temperature swings here. These 20 degrees back and forth are killing me, guys. Before we get into this discussion, though, we have some awesome partners in the industry that make these episodes every week possible. So if you guys are new here, we drop a weekly discussion, usually a Wednesday. Sometimes it's a Friday, just depending on when I'm able to record and whatnot. Plus, we do a monthly sit rep discussion, which usually drops the first Sunday morning of every month. Sometimes there's more of those, though, if something really important happens. But at any rate, all of that and all the content you guys enjoy on Instagram and on YouTube is made possible by the supporting sponsors that we have here for the Prepared Mindset Podcast. There are some companies that do awesome stuff in the community, and they care about equipping citizens just like you and just like me with gear, with knowledge. that's going to make us more capable, make us better people to help make our country a better place. So with that, I want to start off by saying a very big thank you to those companies. Thank you first to Custom Night Vision, you guys. It was really cool talking to some folks in class, seeing who, you know, hey, who runs night vision, seeing how many guys had lasers and stuff on their rifles because they do run night vision. And Custom Night Vision is an absolute outstanding source if you're looking to get into your first set of tubes, upgrade to a new set, pick up a laser, a helmet, a white light, anything you guys need. Custom stocks at their website is customnightvision.com. And guys, I mean it. When I say they have almost anything that you need, they really do. So whether you're looking for tubes, because you want to swap out from that Omni tube that you got with your PBS-14 a couple years ago to a nice L3 or Elbit White Foss, they have those available and in stock. If you're looking for a whole new device, say you finally got all your money saved up, you're ready to buy your first single tube or dual tube setup, whatever, you know, flavor you prefer, they have a ton of options in stock with tubes from Photonis, NNVT, yes, Elbit, and yes, of course, L3. And that's regardless of that single tube, like the PVS-14, which is everybody's first point with night vision and an outstanding choice to help you see in the dark, or you can get into dual tubes. So, you know, RNVGs, the MH1s, DTNVSs, the list goes on. They have all of this in stock and available for you guys at customnightvision.com. And further, if you have the tubes, if you bought the device and now you go, well, now I need a way to utilize this, they stock the entire line of Team Wendy helmets as well as mounts from companies like Wilcox. They have lasers from companies like Steiner and B.E. Myers. So the tools that you guys need to be most capable and most effective in the nighttime, Custom is your one-stop shop. They even have optic mounts. They have all kinds of stuff from Microbat systems to help with counterweights and whatnot. You guys could literally start with nothing and complete your entire helmet setup with night vision all on CustomNightVision.com. Those guys are tremendous supporters of everything we do here. Please head on over to their website, check it out. Let them know that Prepared Mindset sent you. They will give you guys a fantastic experience. Now, fitting for this week's discussion, I want to say thank you to Orion Training Group, you guys. The website is OrionTrainingGroup.com. Jared and Jason were up here in Michigan for the weekend. So a crazy trip for them. So they're actually still in Michigan. They spent last week doing a five-day SWAT school in Indiana, which is gross, right? And then spent a couple hours driving, got up here into the mitten, or as Jason calls it, the night trial glove, and put on a two-day CQB fundamentals class for us. And now they're down in Southwest Michigan at the lab for another class, you guys. Head on over to OrionTrainingGroup.com. Check the calendar, check the course list, see when they're coming to a location near you. And if they're not, then get in touch with Jared. Send him an email. You can connect through the website and get a class set up near you. Bring the information, the training that Orion has to you and your homies. Be a better prepared citizen. And last but not least here, want to say thank you to our friends at 100 Concepts, you guys. It was really, really cool going through class, seeing everybody's different setups. Almost everybody was running a white light. Some people had LPVOs and scopes. But the cool part was that almost everybody that I came across, whether they were a friend of mine or somebody I was meeting for the very first time, almost everybody was running the scope caps and the light caps from 100 Concepts because they're a fantastic solution, you guys, to reduce things like reflection, which does not occur naturally in nature, right? To protect the lenses of those devices, especially because as we got into the latter part of class, we were doing some simunitions and BBs and things like that, where, yeah, I mean, you can, by chance, crack or break a lens. And that's why we had to wear, you know, iPro and things. But there's a ton of solutions available over at 100concepts.com to protect your gear, to protect you, and make you more capable out in the field. You guys, their company motto is do good, be dangerous, live free. It's 100 Concepts. Head on over to the website. It's 100concepts.com. Check out all the gear for yourself today and pick yourself up something nice. So, shout out, I will say, really quickly here to Protection Group Denmark. I reached out to them because after the Dirty Civ video that came out last weekend, I had a bunch of friends reach out like, hey, I know you got a relationship of sorts with PGD. Any chance you got a discount code? I want to pick up the helmet pads because they sound really, really comfortable. So discount code PMP will save you just a little bit off of your order if you're ordering through Protection Group Denmark's U.S. website. Yes, They have a U.S. site, and honestly, it's on par and comparable with pricing for all the other retailers. So some of those less than desirable companies that, you know, is circling around the Reddit sphere, you guys can go directly to PGD to pick up one of their ARC Gen 3 bump helmets. Use code PMP to save yourself a little bit of money. Doesn't do anything for me, but it supports a great company and gets you guys an awesome product with a little bit of a discount. Okay. With that said, so let's get into the debrief, guys, like the meat of this. This is gonna be really cool. Like I was saying a moment ago before we had our ad reads and everything, I think that CQB is a fundamental skill for civilians. I love it. It really tickles my particular autism. And I love going through this stuff, because even though this was a fundamentalist class, and on some degree I could probably argue that I quote unquote knew how to do most of these things, it's always good to have a refresher and have an outside perspective to clarify and correct some of the things you may have let slip or maybe misunderstood the last time. And even other instructors, we had Kyle and Drew from Two Vets Development Group, based here in Michigan. I think they're in like Monroe, I want to say, Southern Michigan. So a little ways from me, but two really, really good dudes who've recently been coming out to our Thursday night sessions at Battlefield CQB. Also, this is going to happen a lot, I'm sure. I want to take just a moment here and say thank you to Tim and Nelson, the owners of Battlefield CQB, for the venue. We're there every Thursday nights. If you guys are in Southeast Michigan, come check it out. It's free on Thursday nights, usually for a couple hours, and we can run reps. We can work on CQB. If you don't know it, we'll introduce you to the concepts. We'll get you started, and you can, you know, work up with us, train up with us, those kinds of things. It was really cool because Tim, the owner, actually did take the class with us this year. The nice part I will say about this, it was crazy how this all worked out, right? The class last year was 16 people. It was 3 days, right? So two groups of eight per instructor. This year, it was just a two-day class because of the schedule that Jared and Jason kind of had with leaving Indiana for the SWAT school. And then it's really hard to run a class like Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Usually if you're going to do a three-day, you start the end of the week. So it would have been like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They didn't have Friday available, so we just did 2 days. We still got a ton of learning done. We had the class size set at 20 originally, and a number of people, I know I had people reaching out to me, and a lot of people, I guess, reaching out to Jared and Jason, like, hey, you guys come up here once a year. I really want to get into the class. Is there any way you guys can like open up an additional spot for me? And I didn't, you know, obviously I just directed people to Jared and Jason. I'm like, hey, if you have questions on it, you can message them. I don't know what like max capacity looks like. I don't know how they want to handle that, because that's something obviously they have to manage. They know how many people they can kind of, I'll say, wrangle at once. What we wound up doing for the class, they opened up like four additional spots. So we were able to have 24 people in the class. So each instructor took three groups of four, basically. And it's awesome, right? It's the only time in the year that they're able to come up here to Michigan, because it's a pretty long drive up from Louisiana, which if you guys didn't know that, that's the Baton Rouge area is where Jared and Jason are from. So they do a lot of training in the South, basically, you know, below the Mason-Dixon. And they do make the trip up to Pennsylvania a couple times a year, and then, you know, once a year usually to Indiana, Michigan area for a couple different things. So it's really cool that there was such a high level of demand. Like, this class filled up, guys, in like, from what they told me, it filled up within, I want to say, like 2 weeks' time. All 20 of those spots were taken, and they still had people wanting to get in. And I know for a fact there were more people that wanted to get in and probably just weren't, you know, either able to for a conflict, or maybe they never reached out about adding a spot, or I don't really know the details of that. It's kind of here nor there. But it was really, really cool because you can just tell, like, the community here in Michigan really wants this kind of information and really wants this training. So if you guys are listening to this and you were in the class, like, thank you guys so much for coming out and participating. Thank you, Jared and Jason, obviously, for coming out and, you know, giving your time and knowledge to us here in the night trial glove. That's what Jason called it. Like, dude, no, it's not a glove, man. It's a mitten. There's a thumb and then everything else. That's a mitten, man. We also got them to try Coney dogs, which, you guys aren't from Michigan, it's like a hot dog loaded with chili and cheese and mustard and onions. Which they were very hesitant about. I guess Jared had a bad experience last time he was up here with one, and really, really wasn't feeling it, but it seems like things went pretty well. So, man, we start with the fundamentals in this class. So they whiteboard for like an hour and a half. And that's not the way everybody learns. And Jared even says that. He goes, I kind of hate this shit, but we've had enough feedback from enough students in these classes that learn that way, right? They need like a list, right? Because they get like a write in the rain pad and they take notes. And that was actually somebody's takeaway from class, was like, man, I wish I would have brought a notepad, because I would have written down a lot of this stuff you guys put on the whiteboard and everything. And that's the great part about Battlefield CQB too, is they have in like the quote unquote classroom area, which is a little bit small for the 24 people that we had, but a good space nonetheless. We were able to eat in there and everything. And people were taking pictures with their cell phone of the notes. Some people were writing down in the right in the rain pads, because then you can like, you can add stuff, right? You can add clarifying text that makes more sense to you. And they start with like, here's your priorities of work. Here's the principles of CQB. Here's, you know, just all this stuff. So that as somebody who can come in from scratch, basically, and having very little to no pre-existing knowledge, you walk in and you get a complete explanation of the ground layer, so to speak, right? Of the skill sets and things that you're going to be learning as you're stepping into the micro drills that eventually build up to what you did at the end of the day. And I can say this really confidently, because this is the only CQB courses that I've gone through. And they do this the same way in every class. There's a chalkboard / whiteboard session. It's longer or shorter depending on the size of the course. My first two classes were 16 people each. My third class was actually a two-man CQB course at the HTA event, where we only had six people show up out of the eight that signed up. So we had like a really short chalkboard session. And then it was just like, well, there's only six of us. So we ran a ton of reps, which was fantastic. And then this class, we went a little bit longer on the whiteboard session, because we had like eight more people than normal. So which is 50% increase to the standard class size, right? So then obviously 50% time added to the whiteboard chalkboard session, the practical portion of the class, if you will, just by nature of, hey, more people means more questions, more clarification. You know, it was really helpful for a lot of folks. So we started with the fundamentals. So they teach, and they don't do it on everything. And this is the funny part, because people will share photos and videos from the class, and eventually they make it onto social media, right? And then people will try to take them out of context, and they do this with all CQB, not just Orion, to be clear. Because I know Troy at Defender Series, when he was doing it and stuff, like, he would post videos of first-time students, and, you know, he said it when we sat down and had the conversation here on the podcast, like, I am very selective about what I will share and post on social media, because people are just, they're fucking vicious. Go back to what I said earlier about this not being a fucking community and being an ecosystem, because ecosystems have predators, they have prey, they have all that shit, right? Like, you read up on your biology and the circle of life and everything. This is not a community. A community works together to build each other up for sustainment and prosperity. We do not have a community. And CQB is one of those things where people will try and like shit all over. Like, hey, dude, there's already a meme floating around out there with a picture from the class this weekend on day one's morning of Jason, and people comparing it to a picture of Matt Pranka and trying to say, you know, oh, well, this is the Android and that's the iPhone. And it's like, you guys are so fucking bored on the internet. It is absolutely stupid and silly. But it shows how many folks actually spend time on the internet versus like really getting out there, coming to a class, learning. I can tell you, I've talked to a bunch of people that have taken the Orion classes, and I don't know that I've heard any real negatives. Criticisms on how it can be improved, sure, and they ask for that in the AAR at the end of class as well, because they are constantly trying to evolve and improve their curriculum. They tell us that. I can vouch for that, because having been through this four different times in a couple different formats, the same information is presented in different ways, sometimes with different verbiage and in different manners and things, because they're taking that feedback, they're modifying the curriculum, they're changing the curriculum, they're finding better ways of doing things, whether it's, you know, how to open a pull door or a push door or something based on new information learned or new methods they've picked up from other places that they've been or taught or whatever, or guys that have come onto the cadre that have different backgrounds and shit. And it's like, yeah, man, like that makes way more sense. This is way better. Let's do it this way. It's cool. It works. you know, and I think everybody at the end of the class had overwhelmingly positive feedback to share, both in the sustains and the improves portion of the AAR. But at any rate, so you start with the basics. We talk to people about how to pan a doorway, not because you're going to use a pan on every doorway, but because it's one of the most basic and fundamental pieces that you're going to apply to problem solving. So you learn how to pan, how to identify what your axis of rotation is, why it's important to understand that, and how you minimize your overall exposure while maximizing your vision and how much of the room you're about to enter that you can see, right? And from there, then we talk about how to slide through a door safely, right? Like if you have two guys on the other side of a threshold, you know, how to ask the other guy to put his gun down so you can slide through. You talk about your positioning, points of domination. We get into overexposure into the room, right? And the problems that that can cause because of sectors of fire and how that all builds together with your priorities of work when you account for things like dead spaces, areas behind visual obstructions. It's referred to as a dead space. So if you got like a couch or a tall dresser or a half wall or something in a home, you know, just depending on how it was built and everything, those dead spaces, how you deal with those, how if you have two of those areas, so maybe like a doorway, but a dead space in front of it, so you have to, you know, use two people, and how you deal with those problems and things contextually, how you make that make sense, and not just, hey, do this, but like, hey, do you see you have to start doing it, you know, you're three or four steps before you get to this spot in the room, because if you look at your angles of exposure, whether you use like a laser to demonstrate it or a flashlight on the floor and you kind of see like the shadow of the doorway, and you go, you look at that angle, see, that's what you're exposed to if you wait till this part of the room to start, you know, moving or changing your orientation and things. So they really walk you through it and they provide detail. They provide context. They allow you to answer like they'll allow you to ask almost any question, pretty much any question. I don't think they denied any questions. And they'll spend the time working with people to answer it. And some people pick stuff up really quickly. We had probably close to half the class either had a previous CQB experience because they were police officers or former military, or they were returning students to the Orion classes. Some were students from a different facility called MTC up in northern Michigan, which I have not frequented, but it's really cool that we have a facility. It's just like it's too many hours away for me to make it up there on any kind of regularity. So I have never been there, but we had a good, like, I would say contingent of those guys who already had existing knowledge. And then it makes it easier because then you're able to like, well, here, we teach it this way. So try doing this, 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 and hey, this is what you guys do. And that's cool. But you need to make sure if you're going to do it that way, you do this and this. Otherwise, here's the issues you have. So it's not about just like, it literally is about teaching CQB to people, teaching these skills and not just here, do what I do. Here's why I want you to do what I'm doing. Here's what could happen. Like you open yourself up to, you know, your back is exposed to this dead space, or you hang your buddy out to dry, or it's slower to get a second person into a room or something to help you. It's not just like what some companies do where they, let me be careful how I word this. It's not just what some people or some companies do where they teach one way to do things and it is their way and you don't question it. And if you do question it, they can't really give you an answer because they don't know. And there's plenty of those around there. Like I think that's one of the detractors in the CQB conversation is that you have some people who are not really all that qualified to teach this stuff, out there advertising themselves as instructors, out there like taking people's money for these courses, and they really have not one fucking clue of what they're doing, why they're doing it. Just, oh, this is what I picked up from a video, or this is what I did when I was in the military in the 90s or something, and I'm going to keep teaching this. And what they don't realize is that this is probably one of the most rapidly evolving skill sets in our community. It really is. So, and you look at the associated skills attached to it, they're also rapidly evolving. It's because of the high level of danger that's involved with a lot of this stuff. Some of the things that you see the most developments in, at least from my perspective, CQB skills, There's always, you're always looking for better, more effective, more efficient ways of accomplishing these tasks. Like, yeah, it's great when you can just flood the room with like eight guys, but if you only have a team of three or four, how are you going to do that? What are you giving up and what are you getting? And they stress that point very particularly, Jason does, throughout the course. You're always going to give something up to get something, i.e., hey, we put all four guys in the room and we don't put it, we don't leave anybody in the hallway. Okay, you're giving up that like forward security or rear security, whatever, temporarily to maximize what you have in the room. And sometimes you won't. Sometimes you'll just bring that guy in the room and he'll continue to cover, but at least he's in the room, so he has some modicum of like concealment or something, just depending on what you're doing, right? And they explain that like contextually, here's why this works, here's why this doesn't work. Hey, we don't like to leave somebody out in the hallway because you put the other three guys in the room. How long was this dude, if this was a real thing, how long was this dude out in the hallway on his own? You're like, I mean, I don't know, a while. And you're like, yeah, so if something happened out there to him, you're not going to know what happened. You're not going to know why it happened. You're not going to know where it came from or whatever. And it puts you at a very, at a severe disadvantage, not to mention it puts that guy at a disadvantage because, you know, X, Y, Z, whatever. So there's a lot of, I don't want to say they put context to it, because one of the worst things you can do with skills like this is what if the shit out of it. But you can look at it and go, well, here, you want to put this guy out in the hallway holding, you know, on the direction that you're traveling to or the future. What if somebody came around came around from where you guys came from, somebody that you may have missed, and pops this guy in the back? And now y'all are in the room, you didn't see him. You don't know what happened, blah, blah, blah. Like, you guys get what I'm saying, right? So they really, Jared and Jason both, I think, do a great job. They utilize it, what's referred to as the adult learning model. And they do a fantastic job. I can't, like, just as educators, like, as operators, you can tell these guys have a depth of experience and knowledge, at least in, I will say, in the law enforcement application side of this. Because there's a military component where there's, like, you're not worried about necessarily doing, like, cover contact and handcuffing somebody. I know a lot of military guys are like, oh, no, you just put somebody in the room and you shoot everything or whatever. Like, cool. Like, Ross, or move on. But this comes from a little bit more of a law enforcement perspective, which I think personally does pertain more to armed, prepared, capable American citizens. I think that the law enforcement side, where you have to be very deliberate. When's your gun coming off safe? When are you making that shot? Where are you pointing your gun? What's going to happen? Like, I think that all makes a little bit more sense personally. That's not to like poo-poo on anybody who teaches a more military doctrine style CQB. Obviously it works because they're here to talk about it after they did it themselves. I'm just saying from my perspective, that's why I appreciate what Orion, Jared and Jason specifically bring to the table. But they have a cadre that teach CQB as well, that are former military that teach stuff. And it's just, it's also very, very good. I'm not demeaning anybody or taking anything away from anybody who teaches from the lens of the military. I'm just adding my opinion to why I find all the value for folks with Jared and Jason, because those are the only two I've really taken the course from. I digress. So everybody started, at the fundamental stuff, you know, like I said, we started with panning. We moved into center fed rooms, and, something that was different from before that I experienced was we would like start with center fed, then we go to corner fed, then we'd come back to a center fed room, and now you got a center fed with dead spaces and stuff. And then you go to a corner fed with dead spaces. And the way they did it was they would start stacking demands and have you alternate between corner fed and center fed, so that you were experiencing, you know, both of those and how those environmental changes impact each type of room. But what they've moved to is they move through that progression on center fed, and then they move you to a corner fed and have you move through that progression, so your brain is able to fixate and focus a little bit better and retain information a little bit better. And I think both work. I will say I do prefer what we went through in class this weekend a little bit better, because I mean, just from what I observed, people didn't have the weird tendencies when going back and forth between the two where they will float out into the center of the room and cut off each other's lanes of fire. You get a little bit of that as you start adding, you know, like a shoot, no shoot and a dead space. But like, honestly, I thought it went really well. My brother took the class with me. This was his first real course. He'd been out training with me a couple times, and he didn't really for at least from what I was looking at, he didn't seem to struggle with stuff. He did make mistakes. Obviously, we all did. But he seemed to really enjoy the structure of it. So I think that that adjustment, that correction to all center fed, then all corner fed. Now let's move on to hallways and doors. I think that was a good change. And again, that's stuff that they're reevaluating. That Jared, Jason, the whole cadre, everybody, right? They reevaluate those things, go, how can we make this better? How can we teach? And sometimes it's not even what you're teaching, it's just how you're teaching it. You know, like, can we do this in a way, in a manner that is, it's going to be more effective. It's going to help the students learn better by either throwing, not necessarily throwing less variables at them, but having a more consistent environment where, hey, we're only focusing on center fed right now. We're only working on corner fed. And that's, you say it out loud and you're like, well, yeah, duh, obviously it makes sense. But it's something that when you're doing it, you probably don't really think about that. It's very easy when somebody else has the idea to go, oh yeah, obviously. And that's just not how it works. So we had some people that picked stuff up really quickly. We had some guys from different backgrounds. We had some folks that didn't pick stuff up very quickly, but were still by the end of the class able to effectively move through the final two, like, courses of fire, where you start in one room, move down a hallway and clear a room with an open door, move back out into the hallway, move down, you know, breach a closed door and clear a room and come out. The final one that we did was actually, so Jason, set up a string of, like, he did this with us last year too. It was like, I think last year was like 17 rooms, and this year it felt very, very similar in length of the course. So I'll say it's pretty similar. And he was kind of like hiding throughout it with, an airsoft gun. And the point of that, it was to provide ballistic counseling, is what he calls it, to make sure that you are paying attention to the right things at the right time. So when you're entering a wide open area and there's four people and you have three things you need to cover, are you doing that correctly? If you're doing it incorrectly, one guy, his buddy kind of left him hanging out to dry, and the dude pushed out too far, overexposed himself. He got shot in the backside with an airsoft gun. And I do mean the meat of his butt, not his back, literally. Not in the plates where you can't feel it. Got shot in the butt where you can definitely feel it, because he was left exposed, left his back to a dead space, and stayed there. So it's not like a punishment thing. It's like, hey, you didn't learn during class, so now I'm going to shoot you. It's a, hey, I'm trying to get you to understand to a degree, the consequences of not having those things in the right areas. But it's a teaching tool. It's all, it's not punitive. And they stress that a lot. It's not punitive, you guys. It is to help you out. So, we weren't really chasing Jason through this course, but he was there checking stuff out. He'd peeking around a corner, make sure you're looking in the right areas. You're not missing stuff. You're not dropping the ball on some things or pushing past like a dead space or something without scanning it. If you do push past it, are you leaving yourself exposed to another angle and whatnot? So, you know, that kind of thing. And it's, and then also having moments where he had a gun in his hand, or a lot of times he would show up and he would just have his hands up. One guy, we were using Mana systems and stuff. One guy shot him a couple of times. So as a group, we all had to do, either air squats or push-ups. I did air squats. My back has been, and this made the class very different for me from my other experiences, in that, like, this was a pretty substantial injury for me. Not like debilitating in that I couldn't complete the tasks, but I was in constant pain throughout both days. So I can't remember if I mentioned this in the last couple episodes and discussions, but I hurt myself squatting at the gym. And things have been kind of on the mend. And then I think because it was like on my left side, I've been favoring my right side. And then it was either like Friday night, potentially in my sleep, Saturday morning, something like that. I did something jacked up to my right side. So like my lower back and stuff was in really, really rough shape. The cool part is, like, Jared's been through some of these injuries before. So I talk with him about this stuff periodically. I'm like, hey, I know with your experience and you work out and everything, like, you ever had anything like this? So he was able to, like, that's a cool part too, is these guys have like real life experience around working out and injuries and all this, you know, other shit, and just like knowledge on weird crap, like I mean, I don't want to trigger the internet here, but Jared's knowledge of pest control because of his family business, you know, summer jobs and the job he worked part-time while he was trying to stand Orion up to what it is today. So he was able to tell me about, like, you know, oh, that's your psoas, and here's this, you know, tool you can buy online that helps to release that. You have to stretch out and everything, and here's why that feels that way while you're standing but not when you're sitting, and it's more common in people to have stationary jobs, you know, sitting for, like myself, I sit in front of a computer every day because I work for a financial institution and I'm on meetings and calls and stuff all day long. So I need to start using my sit stand desk again because I'm sitting too much and it shortens that muscle, stuff like that. So I was eating Bayer Back and Body basically like 2-3 times a day. I think it was twice a day I took it during class, and then once in the evening. I also have, from when I first injured myself 3 weeks ago, and went to the urgent care, I still had some muscle relaxers. So I took one of those in the morning. You would think with all of that stuff, it would just be like, all right, cool. You're going to like knock that stuff out and you're going to be fine until it starts to wear off. That was not the case. I could very much tell you that was not the case. And little things would set it off. Like, I know we were learning to brush opposing danger areas, and, my brother actually like did one of the rookie things of like, here, I'm going to give myself like, I'm going to swing out like 15 feet to go check this dead space, which you really don't need. And like ran into my back and like, boom, instant muscle spasm. Not a cool feeling. That said, was still able to get through the class, was still able to do everything. And I feel better about it. I've really been looking forward to this. It would have really sucked if I had to like sit out or I couldn't. We ran kit for the second half of the day. If I wasn't able to do those kinds of things, I really would have, it really would have bothered me. So I was glad that I was able to work through that stuff. I was able to like take time to like stretch in a couple instances, just based on where we were at Battlefield. I was able to sit down sometimes and stuff and kind of like relieve that, stress or that pain, and then get back up and go run the reps and everything. So it was a unique experience for me. Not to say that it's something I would ever care to fucking do again, because it's that lingering pain. Well, like I said, like it's not debilitating. It's just very frustrating because it'll catch you and kind of tighten up at the weirdest of times, and that really sucks. And it's to some degree a distraction. So I worked through that. I found a way around that. Again, still a fantastic course. I still had a really, really good time. But there's a lot of things I picked up from it. You know, I've been through this stuff several times. I still find new ways of doing things, get clarification, better levels of understanding. And it's also really, for me, interesting to observe what other people are doing. For instance, we had the guys from MTC that were in our group of 12. These guys are, there was seven or eight of them. I think a good handful of those guys like actually trained together. So they had like a little bit different SOPs on how they have done CQB in the past, which is cool. Cause it's like, all right, we don't normally do that. My group was like me, my brother, John, Roland, who had taken the class last year, and then, Max Fox, who's another guy that we train with. And, we don't do some of the things that they did. Nothing they did was wrong, to be very, very clear. It was just different than what we did. Like, they do center checks on all their doors, which is not a bad SOP to have. So, like, okay, cool. Like, looking at it, checking it out, seeing, like, all right, this is how this works. Hey, this is the advantages that provides. And it's like, hey, maybe we should do that. I know there's some teams across the nation that have that as an SOP. They center check or half pan, right? Some people call it a half pan or step center, whatever. They do that for every door. So every room they do a center check on, and that's just their SOP. And that's cool. As long as you understand like what you're giving up for what you're getting, what the number two man has to do to make that more effective. And that can change depending on if you're moving down a hallway, if that's a room connected to another room. So it was cool seeing that. Some of the door procedures, I think, maybe a little bit different. that was a big thing for us, like, because Battlefield just very, very recently was able to build a couple of door inserts, which is nice because then they, you can take them out. So when they have regular like laser tag gameplay, they're not out there being just absolutely brutalized and destroyed by the general public. But then they can be, they're designed to be slid, so they can just be slid across the floor to whatever door you want to put them in, or whatever threshold, I should say, and they kind of like lock into place. And then you can open the door. And if you don't want it as a pull door, you just unlock it and spin it, put it back in, and now it's a push door or whatever. So it's really kind of cool to be able to get a refresher on that, because previously we weren't able to do that last year. And then I have like a little bit of experience with the doors and stuff at Ben Franklin Range for the HTA event. Been there twice, taken two CQB courses. They have doors in their two-story shoot house, so I've had experience with that stuff. But it's really nice now that going forward, when we have these Thursday night training sessions and everything, we'll be able to utilize the doors for that. We can teach people how to do doors and whatnot. A couple of interesting observations I'm definitely going to share with you guys, though, is let me stop for a second. We talk about equipment being such an important part of what we do, right? So obviously, if you're doing room clearing, you need a rifle, probably with a white light. And we talk a lot about, hey, buy a good, reliable, well-performing platform. So if you're buying a handgun, right, Glock, buy, you know, previously SIG, M&P, Staccato, right, whatever, Walther, there's some good ones out there, CZ, because you want those to function reliably. You want them to be very durable and duty rated. Same thing with your AR platform rifles, like, which is why some rifles like Sons of Liberty, American Defense, BCM, Radiant, a lot of those guns, they go for, you know, close to $2,000. Daniel Defense, right? They go for close to $2,000 because they're built pretty well and they're built to a pretty good standard on things. What I will say I find interesting is that we had not one person in this class, but two people in this class who just in the middle of reps or like middle of a demo, I guess, like working with Jason, I believe actually it was both times with Jason, so maybe it was like a curse or something, they literally had their safety selector fall off the gun, which I've never seen before. The first time it was with a Unit Solutions rifle, and I know those aren't like quote-unquote real ARs because whatever legal definition, you can't put a real AR magazine in it and stuff. But I mean, it's pretty fucking close, right? And then the second one was a real gun that was obviously inert. And that one just fell off at the end of a demo as well. And you just hear like the ting, 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 like the little sound as it like falls off. And you're like, what the fuck was that? And you look and it's a safety selector. And here's the thing, guys, is that in both instances, those are aftermarket safeties. So I think it comes as a stock safety setup on the Unit Solutions. I think they were both ambi safeties, maybe. I don't know. But they use a set screw to be held in place. Whereas if you guys have put together a mil-spec safety, there is no external set screw, which I like mil-spec safeties. I think that it's designed so that you're... trigger finger and thumb can act as one. So as you're activating that safety, your finger comes to the trigger like one motion. And we talk about that with ready up drills and things like that all the time. That said, some guys will go with different safeties because they want a lighter safety, or they want one that you only have to flick to 45 degrees instead of a full 90 because they believe it's going to make them faster. And if it does, like, and that's what you need, Godspeed. Like, hey, good for you, man. I'm like, I'm happy for you. If you like it, if you're able to be safe with it and capable, then I don't give a shit about it. Which you do find with some of those 45 degree safeties or the light safeties that the guys put in guns and stuff, or they'll like take them apart and they'll file down the detent a little bit to make it a looser, smoother action or something. What you find is that those will either get snagged on kit or clothing or something, and you'll have the gun on hot because only it has to travel half as far for that detent to be taken out of action. And then now the trigger's live, the gun's live, and you don't know it. And that's how you have accidental discharges and things. So I've never seen that. I've seen guns fail in class. I've seen a safety break in that, like, I think it was the spring internally or the detent or whatever broke, and you could flip the safety switch, but it wouldn't come off of safe. I've seen that happen once. I've had like a bolt override in class. Like, ammo malfunctions are not necessarily something unique. We did have a guy running, I think it was a blue bolt in one of his guns, and he had a bolt override, I think, where he had a casing stuck over the bolt. And that stuff happens. If you guys have played with sim munitions or sim rounds, you know that those are notoriously unreliable, and that they have those issues. They're a great training tool when they work. It's just that it's difficult to make sure that they're going to work all the time, right? That's why when some people were not that upset when we were, as civilians, right, no longer able to purchase sim munitions. I think it's bullshit, to be clear, but hey, you know, they are unreliable. When I was in my very first CQB class, Josh, one of the guys that was in the group that I was running in consistently, and he was super helpful, really good dude, taught me a bunch as well as the instructors during the class. he had a blue bolt and sim rounds from his department. And he, on the second day, was running that for shoot, no shoot targets. And he experienced a good number of malfunctions with that as well. And it's just something you have to work through. Some people may argue, hey, it's a good contextual piece, because in real life, you could have a malfunction. You could have a double feed. You could have a light primer strike or something. You got to try and work through it, whatever the case is. You're going to work through it. More than likely, you're probably just going to like ditch the gun and go to your secondary, go to your sidearm, and then try and work that problem to get the gun back up and running once you're able to do so in a safe position. But, you know, that those are what they are. I've never seen a failure of the safety, let alone of a safety where it just straight up falls off the fucking gun, let alone two of them in less than 48 hours. That shit was wild to me. I think in both instances, they were able to find the set screw. I think they were able to get both guns back up and running. They were, I think, in both cases, oddly able to, like, go to lunch shortly thereafter and just go hit up, I think, Drew from Two Vets, brought his tools or a cleaning kit. He had Loctite, basically. So they were able to, like, you know, put some blue Loctite on those set screws, get that put back together, guns back up and running, and boom, like, no problem. Everything's hunky dory. We're all good here. But it does kind of make you reconsider when you're talking, oh, I want to build this like super Gucci gun, that kind of stuff can happen. And also, like, hey, if you are using gear like that, guys, anything with a screw, right, should have witness marks. So you can see when that stuff starts to back itself out, and then you should be going through your pre-equipment checks or you know, whatever the hell you call it, where you're checking, hey, my optic, my laser, anything, right? Your safety, like, hey, where are my witness marks at? It could be your castle nut, whatever. Hey, is this moving? If so, like, I need to make sure that I address this, because the last thing you want is for that to come apart. Because then, like, when stuff like that comes apart, half the time you lose little detents and little springs and shit, and they go flying everywhere, and it's absolutely horrific, because 9.9 times out of 10, you will not find that fucking spring. You just won't. I remember with my dry fire mag, they have different spring weights you can buy. There's a kit. And when I was playing with one, I had it shoot across my basement. And it wasn't until I, like, literally was disassembling the workbench that I built myself to install the one my wife bought for me as a Christmas gift, I found that little spring sitting on the ground. It was between, like, the leg of the workbench and the wall, and I found it, like, it was, like, a year later. I'm like, well, there's that guy. And that's actually a pretty big spring compared to some of the detent springs that you have in your lower receiver on your rifle. So, Just some food for thought. You know, I've now seen training experiences where guys had out of spec firing pins, you know, so all this stuff, like, people look at, why do you have all this extra shit you bring to the range? Because when you're training, stuff breaks, shit goes down, man. Like, having an extra mil spec firing pin, not a bad idea, you know, to have an extra or a couple extras, especially since, like, a firing pin is a firing pin for the most part. So, like, if you have an extra two or three with you, not the worst thing in the world. If you have a lower parts kit with you, even if it's just the springs and stuff, I think, I think some of the local sporting goods stores here carry them, and they're like $25 or something or whatever. None of that stuff is bad to have. An extra bolt carrier group, not bad. An extra charging handle, especially some of these Ambi ones where the pins can shear or walk out and stuff like that. Hey, it might just be a mil-spec one that came with the gun, but keep it in your range kit, in your range box, whatever. So you have that, and more importantly, a multi-tool so you can like work on this stuff when you do have these issues. That was the first thing when this shit started falling apart was like, okay, who's got a multi-tool? Like, all right, luckily you have guys there that have like a literal toolkit, or they have the fix-it sticks or whatever. I think one guy, I think his name's Alex, I think he had a slight issue with his weapon light that he had to like fix and torque down or something. And I think it was just like repositioning it from, instead of like reaching his thumb over the gun to get to the left side where he had his push button. Hey man, why don't you take that off and put it on the other side of the gun so you don't have to do that. So, hey, we got tools. Now we can use the torque wrenches and the fix-it sticks. Like, and that's the really cool part about taking some of these courses and taking, you know, the classes too, is that like, if you don't have something, somebody else there more than likely will. I would actually bet money if you, for some reason, had your gun just completely fall apart and you weren't able to use it, somebody there probably either had an extra pistol you could use or an extra rifle you could use so that you could work through the class, or like extra sling hardware, because sling stuff break all the time. The mounts, if you're using like the clips or whatever, those things break. The QDs are notoriously shitty and will break. That said, I still run them because I love them, but if they get dirty and gunked up, they either will stay locked in, you can't get them off, or they'll stay locked open, and you can't not get them to lock into the socket. Then you got to either like deep clean it or do something special or just replace it outright. That shit happens too. So, I mean, like, that's the nice part, is if you don't have something, somebody else there will. I know somebody needed, hey, does anybody have any Ranger bands? I'm like, yep, I do. Here, went back to my Pelican. Here, I got like, you know, 20 of them here. Take what you need, man. Good stuff like that. And then obviously everyone's, you know, snacks and stuff, throwing fruit snacks around, which they talk about that too. It's one of the, like, these like little nuggets of information are things that I find really cool about the experience, like the learning experience going to these Orion classes. Jared will tell you, and so will Jason, like, hey, your guys, like, your blood sugar is going to just, like, drop in the afternoon, and you're going to be super overwhelmed with information and stuff, because your brain is processing faster than your body and whatever. So, like, hey, bring some sugary snacks, you know. So he was, like, feeding us some, I think, like, Skittles gummies, or I went to Costco, and I bought the 90-pack of Welch's fruit snacks, which I was, like, hell yeah, man, we're gonna crush a bunch of these fruit snacks. And I think I brought home more than like half the box. It was ridiculous. I don't need that much next time, or I should just start throwing them at people. Like, here, I don't want to carry this shit home. Like, everybody take some fucking gummy snacks and, you know, put them in your mouth. But I saw other guys, people had all kinds of stuff. There was definitely a lot of energy drinks being had, because I think that mental fatigue wears on people in class just way more than you realize. Aside from the fact that they taste good and we really like them, there was a lot of energy drinks, a lot of water. And some of the things, like, I observed is a lot of people in the class are, they just take really good care of themselves. We had some pretty jacked dudes in this course. And it might surprise you, that they weren't necessarily the ones you'd expect. Like, you would think, like, hey, the cops are the ones that are totally jacked because they got to fight people and do their jobs and stuff. And, not that those guys were in bad shape, but the biggest dudes there, I don't think, were in law enforcement. Although it was cool, we did have a couple out-of-state guys come to this. And this is where the community building aspect of this, at least for me, is really, really cool. Because I think previously, when they were here last year, everybody was from, I think we had one person come up from, I want to say it was Michigan City, Indiana. I want to say that that's what it was. And then this year, I think we had somebody come from Illinois. I believe he was an LE dude who came from someplace outside of Chicago, which doesn't, I know that really doesn't narrow it down. And I think we had somebody come from just over the Ohio border, come into class. And I think everybody else out of the 24 people were all, you know, Michiganders, all dudes that were somewhat local to the area. And a couple that weren't, it was Ryan and Colby, two really good dudes, sat next to them at dinner and everything, got to talk to them a little bit. I think they drove down from like basically the Mackinac Bridge is what they said, which is like a 5-hour drive, is wild. But it's so cool to see that people like want this kind of training. They want this information so badly, or they, I shouldn't say they want it so badly. I should say they put a great enough value on this kind of learning and experience and networking opportunities that they were willing to drive 5 hours. And I don't know if they like got a camper, because somebody did bring a camper and that's what they stayed in for class, or if they like got a hotel in the area or something, but they were willing to put that money out of their pocket in addition to their course tuition. That's what I was looking for. The course tuition, which I think was $500 for this class, which really isn't bad when you consider it's two completely full days. You know, if you went for a regular like pistol fundamentals course for a day, it's probably going to cost you between $200 and $250. And personally, for the quality of instruction that we got, I don't have a problem with the price at all. And what some people didn't realize, unfortunately, so you guys go to the Orion, and I mean, I don't even care. You guys can say I'm sitting here and I'm shilling for Orion. But I'm gonna help these guys out because they've been very good to me as friends and as mentors. People don't realize this. Sign up for their fucking newsletter because they have like an 11 or 12% off discount code that you can apply to your course tuition. So it was $500 for this $500 for this 2-day class, less your 12%. So it's 10%. You take a zero off. So that's $50 off. It would have been like, I think it was like $60 is what it ended up taking off of your, maybe not quite that, I don't know. But at least $50 off of your course tuition. So then you're not looking at 500, you're looking at like 540 or 550. And then, hey, look, that extra $50, that's like your two lunches or something, or it's the cost of your one dinner. Cause after the first night, as they, usually they do it on a 3-day class, we'll all go out to dinner as a group on the second night. But because we only had 2 days, we went out to dinner on after the first night. We took like, I think 4 people or something didn't go out of the class. So us plus 2 instructors, 22 of us went out. We had dinner, went to this little Mexican joint, actually the same place we went last year. I think it's under new ownership though, because the food was better. The service was definitely better this time. We just got to hang out, you know, like outside of like the break room or whatever that we were in for class and stuff, but sit there, you know, have a beer, eat some good Mexican food, you know, pick the brains of like Jared and Jason, talk about some stuff, talk, hey, what'd you guys think of the day? Like, and I remember last year I sat down with Jason for a minute. I was like, man, it's a lot, dude. Like my brain is toast right now. It is a lot. And he goes, it is a lot, but is it too much? Or are you just, you know, struggling to keep up with the processing? And I think that's what he asked me. And I remember thinking about going, well, that's actually a really fair question. Do I think that they presented us with too much information for the day? Or was I just, you know, struggling to keep up with the processing piece of it, which are, to be fair, two very different things. And I don't think that it was too much information. And you know, what's wild, again, is that we had guys who had never done anything like this before. Again, my brother was in the class. He came with me. He's never been, this is his first formalized firearms class. I mean, like, he's never taken a rifle course. He's never taken a handgun course, medical, like, anything. He's just trained with us on the flat range, and then he's been out with me on a couple of Thursday night sessions at Battlefield CQB. And, like, he was able to keep up with this stuff. Now, he definitely admitted, and a lot of people did, like, nope, I feel super overwhelmed. It's just so much to keep up with. Like, it's a lot, but I loved it. It was great. And the cool part was when we got to that last course of fire, that last string of, like, 17 rooms or whatever the hell it was, like, he dropped in with me, John, and Max Fox, who have trained together for a while. We were all in the class together last year and have periodically trained together on this stuff since, and was able to drop in and with us either telling him what to do at certain moments or obviously him knowing what to do and look for while, you know, from what he learned in class, right? We were able to move through that extremely well. And I will say, like, I'll give him kudos. And I would to anybody else that got a lot of praise in class. I just wasn't in every group, obviously, is he did really well. He moved very similar. You can, like, Jared and Jason both said, hey, you like, this works because you guys work together. You guys read each other's body language. You know your tendencies. You know what's going to happen. So you're able to adjust more quickly. You're able to pick things up or drop things as you needed that some people may not, because you guys have worked together. And that wasn't just me and my brother. That was the four of us, or technically five, because we were really good with Roland as well, who's he doesn't really train with us on the regular, but he was in class last year. He's been out to Battlefield a few times. Real good dude, smart guy, you know, rolls jiu-jitsu, does competitive shooting, so he's pretty squared away. On his own, but then was again dropped in with us, and the four of us were able to, you know, knock out that the course with Jared, with the, you know, an open door and a closed door, and we didn't drop stuff. And I'm not sitting here saying that to pat our ego. What I'm saying is that, like, it's worth it, because as you start working together, and then you go kind of vet yourself, but go to get like some validation on what you've been training, find the gaps in what you're doing that's not working or that you're missing. And then to hear from the instructors, like, hey, you can tell y'all work together because, like, you guys move exactly the same. You guys read off each other. You guys didn't drop anything there because the other, you know, somebody else was there to pick up whatever. Or you guys did this a little bit differently. And because you did a little bit different, the next guy came in the room. He didn't even bring his gun up. He just turned and started looking for security or something else to do. And that's because of the time spent together. So it all builds upon itself. And I think when we go back to the discussion that we have so often here, people talk about, I want to find a group of guys to train with. I want to find my tribe. I want to find people that are local to me, that are like-minded individuals, is always the phrase that gets used, which I at the point now, I kind of fucking hate hearing it, because like-minded individual is like just people who are pro 2A in more interpretations than not. And a lot of people I train with, like, oh, I just want to go out in the woods and wear M81 and fucking, you know, learn sustainment and stuff, which is great. It's not what I necessarily want to spend all my time on, but I find so many weird guys like that. They're like, yeah, we got to get M81, buy all this surplus gear. We're going to go take training from a company I've never heard of. And it's like, that's not what I'm looking for. Like, if I'm going to spend money on training, I'm going to validate that it's from a company that's going to be good teachers teaching good, relevant information. That's not to be clear to say that Orion is the only one out there that does that. There's a lot of great companies out there that teach CQB, yes, and they also teach sustainment, small unit movement, and what have you. These are just guys that, like, I'm friends with these dudes. I look forward to seeing them up here in Michigan. I talk to Jared basically weekly. Some weeks I talk to him daily. It is quite a bit, and he's very available. It's one of the things that I think when we're looking for relationships as students, I think instructors, and I mean this, instructors, not necessarily a company, instructors that make themselves available to you as a student is something you should look for. You know, obviously I have a good relationship with these guys. Man, I can send them messages. I can ask them questions after some of the sessions at Battlefield CQB. I'll be out there on Thursday nights trying to help people. Hey, this is, you know, my somewhat limited understanding of this, or maybe I have a more advanced understanding than many. This is what I think we should do. And the next morning I can send a voice message or something on Instagram or, you know, over chat or text or whatever and go, hey man, this is what we did. This is what I said. Is this correct? Or is there another way to do this? Like, pick his brain. He's always, always, always very willing to answer and help as best as he can. And, you know, in this community, or this ecosystem rather, a lot of times you won't get that. The instructor will say, well, if you come out to my course, I can show you. And that's it. Like, full stop. Because they're not going to give away anything for free. And, like, here's the spoiler alert. You can learn quite a bit. And that was some feedback people gave too. Like, you can learn quite a bit off the YouTube videos that people like Orion have put together. You can glean stuff from some, like, the forward observation videos. Yeah, GBRS group and some of those guys, right? But until you actually, like, A, are there witnessing it, and B, most importantly, you're there doing it yourself, experiencing what it feels like, what it looks like from behind the gun. CQB is one of those things that, like, you really, you might get lucky. I'm not saying that you can't learn some stuff and then practically apply some of it if you're, like, a street cop or something. You might get lucky. But for me, it's about proficiency. It's about a depth of knowledge. It's about a level of understanding. And what I'll say is, if you want to rely on only the free information that's out there, you're putting yourself way behind the power curve and you're putting yourself at a major disadvantage. And if you don't like what Orion teaches, you've seen the videos, I know there's multiple schools of thoughts on structure clearance and room clearing and, you know, whatever you want to call it. You want to go someplace else, like do that. But I encourage you all, if you want to learn CQB, go learn it from somebody. Don't just like listen to whatever talking head on the internet tells you this is the way to do it because I was in the SEAL teams or I was a ranger or I was whatever. And this is how we did it. And this is why panning doesn't work or whatever. Like, I would definitely recommend that you go a step or multiple steps beyond that and search out people that actually are willing to like work with you as a concerned American citizen. Because there's companies out, there's guys out there, they'll shit all over this stuff. They'll tell you as a civilian, you don't need it, or at most, and I've been told this before, at most, all civilians need a solo CQB, which is like, it's funny because we took this class, it's a CQB fundamentals course. Do you know how we started off learning the skills? Spoiler alert, and I know Jared and Jason won't be mad that I give this away. You start off as a single fucking person. You have one person do a pan. Hey, cool, you completed it. Hey, now you're going to learn how to slide through. We don't get into like, no, the details and the minutiae of digging one corner and immediately turning to clear the opposite corner because you're the only guy there. But this is a CQB fundamentals class and a solo CQB class. Solo CQB is hard. Two-man CQB is hard. Solo is really hard because you're trying to solve all the same problems with half as many people when you have two guys, let alone when you're as one person trying to do four people's worth of work. So like, oh, the only CQB you should learn is solo CQB. That's like way easier said than done. Not to mention the other narrative that we push all the time is to find your tribe. So if you are, you know, presumably working with a team of dudes that live in your general area of operation, your general locale, you guys train on the regular or semi-regular, why not learn how to work effectively as a team? There's safety in numbers. You're going to tell me that if shit gets weird, you're just going to like hide in your basement and not call anybody, not talk to anybody, and not try to band together? That's bullshit. Like, that's human nature is the pack mentality and the strength in numbers. So why not make your pack the most capable that you can? I find the whole thing very, very weird. I think you should learn all of it. I think you should understand all of it because it lends itself to the discussion. Like if you go through a solo CQB course without having gone through a four-man class, I think you may have a harder time personally. Now, I've never done it, so I could be wrong, but I will say some of the advantages where I went through two different four-man classes before I went through a two-man class, and I'd already figured out going into two-man that like, okay, well, here's the things you're looking at. Here's the four pieces, or here's the pieces of work. Well, now we have two, so I was able to process and consolidate those into two pieces of work versus four. It helped me. Maybe working in the reverse order is going to work better for you. I don't fucking know. But I think the moral of the story here, kids, is just get out and train. Because if you don't eventually get up, go out and train, none of this matters. None of this means anything. And you're just going to be relying on pure luck, whether that's that you get lucky or that the person against or you're, the person that you're in opposition to is unlucky that day. And hope is not a plan, you guys. Hope is the absence of a plan. We've heard that said by people over and over on podcasts, in movies, in books, in lecture series, you know, it's bumper sticker, whatever. So I really enjoyed the class. I think that it's something that I'll recommend to anybody. Like, hey, you guys want to go learn CQB? I wholeheartedly recommend the guys at Orion. Obviously, if you listen to the ad space, they are a pod sponsor. So, I wouldn't work with them if I didn't believe in what they are doing. To be completely fair, I'm not really in the business of tearing down other companies publicly. So I have my own thoughts and my own opinions on other methods and schools and the way some people teach some things. I have some pretty strong feelings as somebody who's learned this stuff. I have some pretty strong feelings on methods and approaches to this kind of thing that I am very, very opposed to. And some people will tell me you don't have a right to that opinion because you've never done it professionally. That's bullshit because I have this thing called common sense and I have a brain, and I'm able to use free will to make up my mind. I'm not going to sit here and tell you which places those are and try and take business away from those people and launch myself into an all out, you know, internet, you know, bullshitting storm. But I will say, like, I looked into several companies before I ended up taking classes with Orion. I had such a great experience at HCA, the first class I took from Jared and Joe, that I was like, I need to get these guys in Michigan. Like, they, we had talked about it, you know, getting them in that year. It was like 2023, that kind of fell apart. So, hey, let's get something together for May of 24, which they were here last year. Brought them in for 3 days. It was such a more complete class than the 3 day one that I experienced in Pennsylvania, or than the 2 day one I experienced in Pennsylvania, having 3 full days to work together and everything. That I was like, yeah, let's like love to have you guys back. Let's keep it going. Now it's not only building a relationship for me and those guys, but it's building a relationship between Battlefield CQB and Orion Training Group. And it's helping build the community because I'm giving, not me, I'm just helping to facilitate and coordinate all of this. It's opening this up to our greater community here of people that want access to this. And yeah, that was only 20 some people, you know, whatever they got in for training on this. I know there's more out there. And that way it builds a relationship with Battlefield. And it helps to establish to our community that Battlefield CQB, yes, by day it's a laser tag facility, but or by night it's a laser tag facility, I should say. But by daytime, when people are like in school and working or whatever, hey, it's a training opportunity. It's a training center. You can pay to rent out this facility space. You can pay to bring in the instructor that you want to have come in from whatever state or whatever to come in and teach what you want, whether that's just using part of the facility to do a medical course or using part of the facility or all of the facility technically to do a CQB class or whatever the case may be, whether that's singles, duo CQB, four-man CQB, CQB fundamentals. I'm sure with the right opportunities, because it is a laser tag facility, hey, let's turn the lights out. Let's do a night vision CQB class. Maybe that's like a one-day introduction thing they add on next year or something. There's a lot of opportunities there. And this is all part of building that. It's not just, hey, I really like these guys and I'm going to fanboy, you know, hard as fuck for them. I do like those gentlemen. They're very funny. They make me giggle. But they bring great information. They're very approachable. People really enjoy the classes and it's helping the people around me. It's something that, like, it's one of like the core tenets, I'll say, of why I do this, like the podcast mission, the content and everything, is I want to help build the community up around me, because for years I struggled with that. I didn't know there were people around me that wanted to do these things. I mean, I knew I had a couple friends, but I didn't know that there were people like all over that had these interests, owned the gear, owned the kit, went to take classes, wanted to go shoot, wanted, you know how to do these things, think and feel the same way I do. It's a huge deal to me. It's really cool when, you know, guys walk up to me after class and are like, dude, thank you so much for bringing these guys here. I'm like, dude, it's not a problem. Like, I love it. And that's like, selfishly, maybe that's why I do it, is like, I want to have them come here so I can take the course. But like, I also am really, really, really happy that this is able to fill that gap for people that otherwise may not have the access, right? They may never, you know, have the opportunity to learn CQB, which may then never launch them down a path in life where they start traveling to other states and other facilities and locations to learn this stuff. You know, like, you know, after my first class, I was hooked. I'm like, dude, this is incredible. This is everything that I want to learn. And I know it's incredibly difficult and it's incredibly challenging. And I love it. I want to know more. I want to understand more. I want to understand why there's like 17 ways to do, you know, these things. And, you know, the Navy does it this way. The Marines do it this way. The Army does it this way. Law enforcement does it that way. And here's the contextual why behind all of it. And I feel like I get just a little bit more of that every time I go through one of these classes. There's a lot of information that's presented. These guys are fantastic teachers. I mean, yes, they're, cannot say enough. Like, these guys crack me up with some of the shit they say. And it's wonderful. It is a really, really good time. And if you guys just haven't done that in a while, I mean, like, take the CQB class out of it. You know, like, when's the last time you got together with just like a group of men and were able to just work on becoming better together? I'm not talking about going to the range with your buddy, where you've been friends for 8 years and you're just bullshitting and, you know, whatever, fucking mag dumping into a pile of trash or running a couple drills and fucking around and having a cigar. I'm talking about like, hey, we're all here to get some shit done, to challenge ourselves, to succeed and fail together. Hey, this guy shot a no shoot 3 times. Guess what? We're all doing physical punishment for it because that's what we do here. And you got guys like, oh, that's bullshit. No, it's not bullshit. We do it together. We succeed together. We fail together. It's not about whether it's fair or not. It's a total mindset shift in a way that I think positively impacts folks. So, to put a bow on it, really, I guess you guys can't tell. I really loved it. I wish it would have been a 3-day class. I think if it was a 3-day, I probably would have died just because my back was in such like weird shape and disrepair and everything. At the time you guys are listening to this will drop on Wednesday. I will be back at the chiropractor and the kinesthesiologist to be worked on again. I was really going to try and get in sooner. I'm recording this well in advance. I'm recording this on Monday. Tried to get in today, didn't have anything open. So Wednesday I'll be going ahead and, visiting the doctor again. I really want to get away from taking, you know, the ibuprofen and stuff and the muscle relaxers. So hopefully get this all squared away, drink a ton of water, stretch out more, just take better care of myself. Like that's one of my big goals is like continue to take better care of myself and build muscle. Yes. Potentially drop some weight, whatever. Just be a better man, be more capable. I think that's what a lot of us are in pursuit of. So thank you guys so much for checking this one out. Hopefully you found it, if nothing else, entertaining. But if you've been interested beyond just hearing the ad reads, like you've been interested in Orion class, like, hey, cool, man. This is what it's about. I mean, I'm looking at the counter right now. I know I've been talking for over an hour about this, and you guys probably have like just a little idea of what was packed into the last 2 days, like the 16 or 18 hours that we had spent together learning. And obviously, if it's a 3-day class, then it's closer to like 24 hours of learning. And it's really hard. I could walk you through every little fucking thing we did, which is kind of boring, but like, I want you guys to understand, like, it's a good positive experience. And like, you don't have to sit here and listen to me talk about it. Like, go fucking sign up for one. I think the prices are very reasonable for what you get. And I know they do, like, they do work really hard to try and get to parts of the country that, you know, they, don't necessarily get to very often. I think they're in Arizona this year. Come up to Michigan. I know, I think, like, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure Jared said the only two places in the country they won't go are like New York and California. And I might be wrong on the California one, but those two places suck balls because their laws are just terrible and they hate their own police. So yeah, hope you guys enjoyed this. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, if you're in the Southeast Michigan area, you guys, if you listen, you'll find out when the next classes are. People brought that up in the AAR, and I'm like, hey, shameless plug. I was talking about this class and when it was coming for like weeks, possibly even months before it was posted and open up to the public. I knew it was happening in May. And then even before it was posted, I knew what the dates were. And people, like, so I don't think I had anybody reach out. So if you were in the class, drop me a message on Instagram. And hey, let's stay in touch for one, but like B, if you guys want to know what's going on and when they're coming back to town, cause I've been able to coordinate this and everything, like just stay tuned. I really work hard to try and make sure I bring that information forward to you guys, because I want to make sure that everybody who wants access to the training can get it. That's really important. So that's all I got for you guys this week. Rad discussion for me, as you sit here and ramble on about the awesome weekend I got to have. But until next time, you guys, stay safe out there. Enjoy the weather. Now it's finally starting to warm up here, at least in Michigan. It's probably warm already for some of you guys. But until next week, you guys work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.